Hey everybody, David Guerra here. Welcome back. This is the Walking Leader Podcast, episode number 64. The first one of 2016. How are you? How's it going? I hope you had a great holiday season. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Now, the first business week of 2016 is just about under our belt. There we go. It's going to be wrapped up here in the next day or so. And how did it go for you? Hopefully it went pretty well. Hopefully it went as expected, meaning brutal, hustle from the word go, 8 o'clock Monday morning to 5 p.m. Friday afternoon, and then some. And you still got the weekend. But hey, let's continue with the podcast. That's why you're here. That's why I appreciate you listening. That's why I thank you for following me on Twitter, on Facebook, on Snapchat, on Instagram. And am I missing something else? Oh, yes. And on your iTunes here, subscribing to the podcast. I do appreciate it. Thank you very much. Excuse me, a little weather change outside, but so my sinuses are acting up and it's going to be a little bit of an issue, but it's not going to stop us. We're going to continue on. So we're going to continue with the series that I had started before the last podcast of 2015, and it's the Bad Leaders Aren't Leaders series, and this is number 18. And this is the bad leader who is a legacy. Legacy, L-E-G-A-C-Y, legacy. Someone who gets a job within the organization because his mom, dad, uncle, aunt, cousin, or is some bigwig within the organization, within the company. We've all seen it. You know, we've all heard about it. We've seen it in movies. It's been done. And it doesn't happen now as much as it used to happen in the 70s and the 80s. See, because now, you know, 2016, there is more accountability, more transparency. There's that need. Now the organization will put itself in a position of liability or possible litigation because of the lack of experience and wisdom of those in the positions of leadership and management. So if, you know, they've got to be careful. They can't do that. See, the stakes are just too high. They really are. Now, it still happens, and it happens in individuals. Individuals are handed jobs with a responsibility of leading other people. It does. It's 2016. It continues to happen, but just not at that big scale that we knew of, or those of us that were experienced it in the 70s and 80s. It doesn't happen as much. But again, in the smaller organizations where things tend to be quick moving and you got to fill a position, well, that's where it does happen. See, and sometimes they're put in a position of management without any management training or experience whatsoever. See, the thing is just because mom or dad or aunt and uncle, they're the top dog manager, they're the owner, they're the CEO, whatever, it doesn't mean that automatically by osmosis that experience is transferred to the legacy. It doesn't happen. Experience is never given. It's experience is earned. It's never given. See, and the same applies to wisdom. Wisdom is earned and never, ever given. So being handed a title is not the way to lead. Just because, well, I have a title and Uncle So-and-so gave me, Uncle Milton gave me a title, and that means I'm a leader. No, it does not mean you're a leader. It doesn't work that way. See, you still have to prove yourself. You still have to pay your dues, especially in organizations that have been around quite a while. You have to prove yourself. You have to pay your dues. The thing is that your level of trust is not at the level that people within the organization will wholeheartedly count on you, or that they can depend on you when times get tough. See, you have no trust from them. That's just the way it is. They don't trust you. They don't trust you. They don't trust how you got there. They don't trust the position you were put into. Sure. Now, don't get me wrong. Those that are close to your family or whoever it was that put you in, that there's going to be people in your organization that are close. They're going to follow you. And they're going to follow you to a certain point, to a certain degree. And they will follow you with plenty of skepticism. And they will tread lightly. And they will do so until you prove yourself. That's if you ever do. Now, while your parental unit or your uncle or aunt, whoever it may be within the organization, they might just be the greatest leader the organization has ever known. But you are still unproven. Remember that. That's not negotiable. But you know what is not? What else is not negotiable? And it's serious. And this is the sad part, because this is a sad reality. Your relation, whoever it is that put you in there, just about lost all trust and respect that he or she worked so hard to build and maintain. Because that's a rookie move. It's not a sign of a great leader. Great leader will not go and just pull their son out of fresh out of college or fresh out of high school in some sad situations and put them in a position of leadership and demand that everybody respect. That's a rookie move. That really is. That's someone who's not a leader. That's someone who's a bully. See that relation, that individual that put that legacy in might also not ever be able to recover that trust that was lost by pulling that rookie move. And thus doubly dooming the legacy and the leader. Okay? And quickly that becomes a problem within the organization. And that's not a good thing, because again, once you start having those kinds of problems, trust and support issues and other issues that deal on a personal level with the long-term tenured staff, there's problems there that are not going to get resolved. They're going to stay, and it's just going to get bitter and it's going to get ugly, and that's not a good thing. So what should a leader do that is tempted to put a legacy in? Now, first of all, my recommendation is don't do it. Don't do it. If they've never worked in the organization, or they've never worked in the organization, the field that the organization's in, why would you even bother putting in a novice, somebody who has no clue as to what's going on? Why would you do that? You wouldn't hire just some schmo off the street and say, hey, come do our tax books, you know, do our accounting books. You wouldn't do that. You're going to find somebody who knows what they're doing, somebody who has the experience, someone who has at least the knowledge of, you know, what a tax form is, what tax form to fill out for what situation, what are the general accounting practices are, the acceptable accounting practices. You know, you at least want somebody who knows that. You're not going to get somebody who knows anything that they know about accounting comes from tapping on the calculator button on their iPhone. That's not an accountant. So, but if you have to put in a legacy as part of a continuity plan, you know, and it's just to maintain the continuity of the organization, then get that legacy involved as early as possible in the organization. Get them in the mailroom. Get them answering the phones. Get them in the warehouse, stocking, resupplying, taking inventory. Get them involved as early as possible. But I jumped ahead just a little bit. You need to ensure that the legacy wants to be there, that that individual wants to be there. And if so, then that's what you do. Now, if not, then find someone from within the organization, someone who supports and believes in your mission and your vision of the organization, because it makes it that much easier later on down the road. Now, if the legacy does want to be in, then get them involved, like I said, as early and as quickly as possible. I can't stress that enough. If they want to be there, they're going to do what it takes. If they want to be there, but with the expectation of, oh, I'm going to start at the top, it doesn't work that way. It really does not work that way. Now, what should you do if you find yourself as that legacy? Well, get into the trenches as quickly as possible. I'm talking start digging foxholes and start filling sandbags. It is that simple. That's the quickest, easiest way to get in and start to learn. Learn from the ground up. Get to know everyone around you. And I'm talking like really get to know them. It doesn't matter what they do. Get to know everyone around you. And here's the kind of, if you're not too sure, how do you really get to know them? You really get to know them when you know their kids' names and what their interests are, what the kids' interests are. That's how you really get to know people, because they've opened up enough to you to let you into their world. Don't mess it up. Now, once you know everyone around you, then you can start working on getting to know everyone else in the organization, those that are not around you, those on the other side of the building. The guy who comes in and repairs the copy machine, the guy or gal who delivers your UPS, it doesn't matter. Get to know everybody else, and then you're going to really, really settle in and really entrench yourself, and people are really going to start to see you for who you are, somebody who wants to be there, not somebody who just demands respect because they're there. Now, let's look at the other side. You know, sometimes legacies want to be in, but they just don't fit in. And what happens if the legacy does not fit in? Wow. Well, you know, you cut your losses as soon as possible, as quickly as possible. Cut them. Just cut them. And most of all, do not hold grudges against anyone in your organization because your legacy could not fit in. See, sometimes your legacy, they're not ready to live the same mission. They're not ready to live the same vision. And they're not ready to have the same work ethic that you have. Is that everybody else's fault? It's not everybody else's fault. It's not even your fault. You know, everybody has to be an individual. Everybody has to move at their own pace. But if somebody has sold them on a given them a bill of sale that says you're going to be in this position of leadership because you just happen to be the child of so-and-so, guess what? That doesn't work either. That's a no bill right there. How, and then what else do you do? Well, most of all, at the end, you keep moving forward without the legacy. Because the organization has to keep moving. Those people have to keep working. Business has got to get done. Customers need to be serviced. Stakeholders need to be, you know, their concerns need to be addressed. Internal, external, everybody has to be taken care of. So that means you have to keep moving forward without the legacy, without that individual that was bringing down the organization or that was slowing down the organization or that was just going against the grain of the organization. You know, you got to keep moving forward because the organization was there longer than the legacy was, obviously. Now, what if you are the legacy that does not fit in? What if you're the one that doesn't fit in? Well, you know what? Cut your losses. Number two, do not hold grudges. I can't stress this enough. You cannot hold grudges. Holding grudges is not going to get you anywhere. Be sincere and thank everyone that tried to help you fit in. Thank everyone that tried to work with you. Hey, you got to meet some great people. But if you're holding grudges, you know, it's like everybody's going to come out of there thinking, wow, what a waste of time. What a waste of time. What a waste of energy that that individual, that leader took to bring in this person that just did not fit in because, look, they're holding grudges. That is not a leader. Now, if you're that legacy that does not fit in, you're going to take this experience and build on it and grow and move on to bigger and better things. You have to. You've got no choice. But if you're just going to sit there stagnant and just hold grudges and just be bitter that you didn't fit in and that you demand that mom or dad or uncle or Aunt Myrtle take care of business and demand you get back in there, well, you know what? You really don't belong there. Think. Now, something else about holding grudges and why you should not hold them. See, they make you look small. And definitely that makes the individual that brought you in look even smaller. And that is not a good thing. So, in summation, bring in legacies that want to be in. Bring in legacies that are ready to do the hard work. Bring in legacies that want to be a leader, not someone who demands to be a leader, not someone who demands respect as opposed to earning the respect. And again, that's pretty much it. Now, if you happen to be, if it happens that they bring in somebody and it just doesn't work out, well, you know what? Cut your losses as quickly as possible. Move on. Don't try to fit a square peg in a round hole. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. But what you do try to do is you try to find somebody else who can fit and you try to make it work and you keep going even if it takes 3, 4, 5 times. But most of all, don't start demanding respect because that's the quick way to lose any respect you've ever earned. Well, folks, that's it for episode 64 of the Walking Leader podcast. That's pretty much it for this episode. I thank you for stopping by. I thank you for listening. I thank you for your time, most of all. Drop me a note on Twitter. Follow me on Twitter, at Dave Guerra on Twitter, or dave@daveguerra.com. I sure love to hear from you. Let me know what you think of this episode. A lot of powerful stuff here, but again, it's stuff that makes sense, and it's stuff that creates bad leaders, and when we have bad leaders, well, they're not really leaders at all. So until next time, I thank you for stopping by. I thank you for listening. Have a great day. Have a great week. Have a great first weekend of 2016. And if you're listening to this later, I hope you had a great weekend of the first weekend of 2016. I'll talk to you soon. Thanks a lot. Out here.